Again, I've said there's the purpose to government is to protect my life, liberty, and property, and to stay out of my conscience. That's really the purpose of government right there. This is what our founding fathers understood by a limited government. Protect my life, liberty, property, and stay out of my conscience. It's not government's job to take care of everything we do, of feeding us and housing us and giving us health care and all these things. The purpose of government is to protect my life, liberty, and conscience, and to stay out of, or my life, liberty, property, and to stay out of my conscience. Okay, that's what their purpose is. And that's what we see in the Bible. And when you look in the Bible at the Ten Commandments, our country was founded on the Ten Commandments. Our nation was. And it was founded on the two tables of the law and a proper understanding of the two tables of the law, which part of them are Godward, and that deals with our conscience. And the other part is manward, and that deals with life, liberty, and property. Okay? So the Godward would be, you know, thou shalt have no other gods before me. You know, remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. And I forget the other one. But that's our conscience. You can't tell somebody what to think or what to believe. And God has given all of us that liberty. See, our founding fathers worded it like this. They said we have, how was it? I lost it. But certain inalienable rights have been endowed to us by our Creator. That means nobody can take them away. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter if you were born an American or not. These are inalienable rights given to us by our Creator. And that's what God is for every man. He's every man's Creator. And He's given us these inalienable rights that no one can take away. And one of those being, you can choose which God you serve. So that's why I say if somebody wants to be a Muslim, they can be a Muslim. Go ahead. Your liberty, so to speak, stops with your religion when you try to harm my life, liberty, or property, or tell me what I have to believe. That's where somebody's liberty stops. So that's where if Islam says that, hey, this is how true Muslims to be, and you have to kill all infidels, well, you've lost your religious liberty. Your freedom to of your conscience doesn't allow you to get to murder somebody else. It doesn't allow you to harm somebody else's life, liberty, or property. Does that make sense to you? Okay, so that's the purpose of government, all right? Those four statements. Government should protect our life, liberty, property, stay out of our conscience. Now, here's where we get to Romans 13. It says, let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God. And preachers, especially that don't understand Romans 13, they don't understand the two tables of the law, they don't understand liberty, will take this and say, no, you need to submit yourself to every ordinance of man, because that's what it says right there. Well, put everything in context. And that's what they don't do. And there's a lot of Bible that goes into this, not just the chapter we're in. But it goes on to say, verse 2, whosoever therefore resisteth the power, resisteth the ordinance of God, and they that resist shall receive to themselves damnation. Now look at this. Okay, here's the purpose. God's telling us this is the purpose of rulers, okay, or government, or the powers that be, the higher powers, okay? For rulers are not a terror to good works. Now that's written in the Bible, and the definition of good works is going to be defined by the Bible. Okay, they're not a terror to good works. So that means us going out and sharing the gospel, government is not supposed to be a terror to that. And Paul was living in a time when it was illegal to do that. Okay, they weren't allowed to do that. Christianity at the time was, at first it was seen as an offshoot, so to speak, of Judaism, and Judaism was an accepted religion under the Roman Empire. But when they realized it was something different, it became illegal. So it was something, maybe not at the time of Paul, but the Jews obviously didn't like it and they were against it. But later on, the Roman Empire came against it as well. So it says, rulers are not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Rulers are a terror to evil works. Okay, that's why we have rulers. That's why we have the death penalty. That's why it's protect my life, liberty, and property. Okay, that's what it is. When someone harms my life, when someone harms my liberty, when someone harms my property, this is when government steps in, the higher powers step in, and this is their jurisdiction. When they get outside of that, they don't have the ability to do that. They don't have it by God given to them, okay? So they're not a terror to good works, but to the evil. Wilt thou then be afraid of the power? Do that which is good, and thou shalt have praise of the same. For he is the minister of God to thee for good. So the power, if they're in the right biblical place, and protecting my life, liberty, and property, they are a minister of God to thee for good. Look at this. But if thou do that which is evil, be afraid, for he beareth not the sword in vain. It's a death penalty. That's what it's talking about. This is the purpose of government. We got government all out of whack. Government's running our lives now. Government is trying to take over and do everything for us, run our lives, and the one thing that they should be doing, they're not doing. I mean, they're promoting the murder of babies, but when somebody, you know, baby's in the womb, this is just the insanity of this. So they promote the murder of babies in the womb, and then when a man murders his one-year-old and buries the child in the neighbor's garden, they let him out. I mean, string him up. This is what the Bible's saying should happen. And I'll just, my personal opinion, and this is just me speaking, is we ought to bring back a public death sentence. I'm fine with a public hanging. You do an offense worthy of it, that's going to teach some children right there, whoa, why is this guy dying right here out in the public square? Because he took somebody's life. That's going to make people think again. But now, when you let murderers go free all the time, nobody has a second thought about it. And it's not even that person's fault. You know, their mom didn't love them enough when they were little. They made bad decisions. You know, they've got this mental problem. So it's not their fault. Look, it's not our job to decide that. We just, honestly, it's not. We judge based on the action. You took somebody's life, you forfeit your right to life. Amen. That's it. That's how it should be. That's the purpose of government. So if we could get back to that, but it only happens when we have a proper understanding of that. When God's people don't even understand liberty, how is the rest of the world going to? And as we get into this is why I encouraged everyone to be a part of that, the class on church history, because it's going to bring this stuff forth. And what it was Baptist thought, which is Bible thought, being preached, and that just flowed through people. And it gave us the liberties that we have, even the mindset we have today. The mindset of Americans still, for the most part, it's getting worse and worse, but for the most part, the mindset of Americans is liberty. Don't tell me what to do. It's different than the rest of the world has been used to being ruled and being told what to do. And it's no joke when they say the old world and the new world. There's a different mindset here because it was leaving the aristocracy, the monarchies that were in Europe. It was leaving that, and it was coming here with a Bible. It was coming here with a Bible, with liberty, seeking religious liberty. But they'd spent centuries of persecution, being persecuted for their liberty of conscience, for what they believed. Even coming into early America, they were persecuted. There was still a battle going on at the time of the Revolution to fight against having a state church. Many different churches wanted to take over. Amen. And they were fighting for it. In different states, it was even passed that this is the state church. Now, how many of you would like to be forced to have to pay to the state church that you don't even attend, that you don't even agree with their doctrines? They believe in infant baptism, and you have to give to that. You have to pay to support that minister through your taxes. I mean, that's what was going on then. But let me tell you right now, that's what's going on now with things we don't agree with. We're paying for abortion. We're paying for sexual reassignment. We're paying for all of that stuff. See, this was never the purpose of government. All this stuff is against our conscience. And we have to start saying something about it. Amen. They're going to call you a bigot and everything else. They're going to call you all these names. We have to start saying something about it. Now's the time. Right now, our New Mexico legislative session right now, they've got, I think, 5 bills that are all an attack on the Second Amendment. Right now. I just was looking at it this morning, just sent in my signature to the governor and several other people saying I'm against this and this is unconstitutional what you're doing. But we've got to start speaking out, even with our friends and family, in conversations we have. We've got to start saying something if we want the liberties that we have preserved. Because how long until they tell us you can't say that type of speech? That's hate speech. We're already hearing the words. So how long until they tell us you can't say that and they start bringing us before a court? Oh, they're already doing that. I forgot. That's right. You got the Christian bakers can't believe what they want. They're being forced to do something. By the way, that same Christian baker, who is at the ACLU, is filing another lawsuit against him. He just won at the Supreme Court level. He already won. The Supreme Court threw it out, said they can't do that. And the Colorado, whatever group it is, government group it is throwing another lawsuit against them with the ACLU. They're coming after this guy when they just lost at the Supreme Court. But they're already telling you what you can and can't believe. And by the way, this guy, he's made cakes for gay people, for transgenders. He's also refused to make cakes with other messages he doesn't believe in, like Nazi type stuff, hateful things against gay people. He's refused to make them. And he's made cakes for gay people before. He just won't make something with a message that he doesn't agree with. See, that's a wise person to me. That's thinking. You can't dictate what everybody believes, but you don't have to support what they believe. And you don't have to promote it. See, he has the ability, his liberty of conscience tells him, I don't have to do that. But now our society is saying that's hate speech. So how long is it going to be illegal? How long will it be until it's illegal for us to even say anything that's said from this pulpit right now? How many of you have seen that sign on Facebook? You probably saw the picture. It's a church sign, and it says something, Bruce Jenner is still a man, homosexuality is still a sin, and something else. I forget what the next part of it says, but it's floated around social media quite a bit, that picture of this sign. Anybody seen that? Yeah, okay, most of us have seen it. Anyway, it was a church sign. It was taken in California. It's a Presbyterian church. Now, you got some gay activists in California came and set up protests against that church, outside the church, and the church people came against their pastor and said, no, you're going to have to resign. And he did resign, but he said, I didn't want to, and I don't think I should have to, but I will, just so it doesn't tear this flock apart. And he was willing to do that. And they called it hate speech. See, this is being accepted already right now, and we can't bow down to it. I'm telling you, we keep giving an inch. That's what Christians keep doing. We keep giving an inch. We give an inch with abortion all the time, and it gets farther and farther. What was it that Bill Clinton was saying? You know, we want abortions rare, legal, and safe. That's what they said to get it, you know, whatever legislation at the time it was that he wanted, that's what they said. Fair, legal, or rare, legal, and safe. And now look, thousands a day are murdered through abortion. That was their vision. No, you give them an inch and they take a mile. And we're witnessing it happening right now. So we want to give up our guns any bit. I say don't give them anything. Nothing. Don't give an inch in this. How long? They're already going after the Fourth Amendment. What's that? Right to be secure in your persons, in your home. No illegal search and seizure. They already do it. How many of you been through a DWI stop? Okay, they broke the Fourth Amendment right there. Amen. That's illegal. What have you done? Are you guilty of some crime? Do they suspect you of some crime? Nope, you're just traveling down the road. But because we've been so conditioned, I remember since I was a child, DWI checks, and it's just accepted. But we've been conditioned to accept all this stuff. Anybody, Brother Brad's been traveling down to Las Cruces. I forget they even do this there. But I don't know, probably like 50 miles from the border, 60 miles from the border, they have a immigration check right there. 50, 60 miles from the border, really? How about you do that at the border? But what is it? It's illegal. They're questioning you on what grounds? Have you done something illegal? You know, you got a blinker out or something? Nope, just everybody has to pull in here. And see, we're conditioned to just accept these things. We're going right back into the tyranny that we fought to leave. And I encourage all of us to look up, just go online and look up the cycle of nations. Just type that in your search, cycle of nations. It's like 5-6 steps. Some of them are different. You know, they all vary, but they're all basically saying the same thing, the cycle of nations. And it goes from enslavement to, you know, the people begin to realize this is wrong. And then there's revolution. And then there's freedom. Then there's prosperity. And then you start going back into tyranny, to losing your rights. And that's where we're at. We're going right back into what we left. Now they're telling us, you can't say this, you can't say that. Well, who gets to decide? Right now, the sodomites are the ones getting to decide what we can and can't say. Those are the ones that get to decide. What we believe is not politically correct today. And that's silencing most Christians. It's more than silencing Christians. It's getting them on the side of the sodomites to begin defending them. This is not right. If we're a biblical people, if we are people of this book, we cannot stand for any of that. Amen. We have to stand against it and say that it's wrong and say that it's sin and say that they're going to go to hell. Because it's true. That, by the way, is love. Amen. That is true love. And that's what we have to do if we truly first love Him. And secondly, if we love them, that's what we'll do. We have to stop capitulating to everything that they want. Stop giving in. Hold our ground. I think the Bible says stand fast. Stand fast, therefore. And that's what we need to do. We need to stand fast to the Word of God. We need to not give in. Because we are losing them. We're watching it being legislated away. We're watching our rights, the Bill of Rights, being legislated away. And those were put in place to stop a tyrannical government, a government that oversteps its bounds. How many of you want a government that can step into your house and tell you how to raise your children? Does anybody here want that? No. So why do we allow them to then? I mean, let me just get off on something here. We've been so brainwashed to think that you have to go to school. Who says? Honestly. That it's illegal for children not to go to school? Or to be homeschooled even? Who says they have to be educated? I'm not. Now, someone's going to take that and say, you're against education. No, a fool is against education. A fool is against learning. Okay, but who says we have to? That's my point. But we've been so conditioned to think you have to. Says who? I mean, I'm not against an ignorant, illiterate society. That's foolishness. One of the greatest gifts we can give our children is to learn to read. And I think we absolutely need to. Why? First and foremost, so they can know the Bible, so they can know the Word of God. That's why. But who says that we have to educate them up through age 18 or whatever, through the 12th grade? See, our government is already telling us how to raise our children. They've already stepped in where they don't belong. That's not their ground, so to speak. They have no say-so in how I raise my family. But you got people like Hillary Clinton, when she was running for president, saying that, y'all, it takes a village to raise a child. What are you talking about? No, it doesn't. I don't need any of you to raise my children. But that's the mindset. And here's what it comes down to. It's about control. It's about government control. And we just need to understand that we're losing our liberties. We're already beginning to lose them, but we've just come to accept it and we don't realize that we've lost them or that they're being trampled on or that they're slowly being pulled away from us. And it's always in the name of safety. Well, don't you want your children to know how to read? Of course I do. But if somebody else doesn't, who says we have to make their child learn how to read? See, and that's the guise they use to get government education going. Which, I'm not saying in the very beginning there weren't good intentions. I'm not even saying that at all. I'm sure there were good intentions, but now look at the monster it's created. It's nothing but indoctrination. I mean, just Google or something, go to YouTube and look up, you know, Common Core Math. And you tell me that's teaching. They're not trying to teach them anything. They're trying to confuse them. That's what they're doing. Because it's easy to control the ignorant. Because they don't know any better. They're like, well, this is just how life's always been. Well, I've always had to register my guns. At least we still have them in America. Yeah, now they know where to get them. Just the one thing we learned by history. Who knows what it is? That's right. We never learn from history. Look at every government that has enacted gun registration laws, what they do. The number one killer of mankind in the 20th century was who? Government. But we can trust ours because they're all just godly, righteous people, right? See, this is what the wisdom of our founding fathers in giving us a Bill of Rights. Especially the Baptists are the ones that fought for that. There would be no Bill of Rights without the Baptists. Let me make that clear. They wouldn't ratify the Constitution, the Virginia Baptists, led by John Leland. They said, if there is not a Bill of Rights, you're not getting our support. It would not have gone through. They wouldn't do it. The Baptists said, no, we want a Bill of Rights. And that's why we have, you know, the first 10 amendments known as the Bill of Rights. The liberties we have are a direct result of Baptist thinking, Baptist people. And we're giving them away when they fought and died for them, bled for them, were beaten for them.
One little thing with Baptist is just because somebody says they believe in Jesus or God doesn't mean they do. I mean, this, look at the Church of England as the controlling entity of America. So they all claim the name of Jesus Christ while they were burning innocent people, taking their land, taking their livelihood, banishing them to the wilderness where the Indians were living. That's the other aspect of this. People don't realize they're never certain.
Right, it was no different than what the Catholic Church did, because the Catholic Church, all the people that were killed during the Dark Ages, the Catholic Church simply says, oh no, that wasn't us. That was the monarchy or whatever it was, whatever country it was in. It was the government did that. That's a cop-out because you ruled the government. And that's the same thing that it was with the Standing Order Church. Is yes, they used the government, so to speak. The British soldiers were the one taxing and enforcing it. But what laws were they enforcing? Oh, paying taxes to the clergy. You know, supporting the state church. You having to be a part of that state church. And oh, you didn't bring your child infant baptism. Why not? And now you're going to be kicked out. I forget the word they use for it, but you're going to be thrown out into the wilderness by yourself with nothing. And this is what they were doing. I mean, they'd send them out with nothing, the clothes on their back in the middle of winter. Right. But that's how they'd send them out, because they didn't submit to the order of the government, the church essentially. And the Baptists said, no, we can't, we're not having this. You're not going to get us to ratify this constitution. We will not, the Baptists in Virginia will not support this. And they didn't until there was a Bill of Rights. And look up the Leland Madison Memorial. John Leland and James Madison met together, and Madison promised, he says, if you guys will throw your support towards me, then I will guarantee that there'll be a Bill of Rights put into the Constitution. And that's what happened. And we're giving that away today. We're giving it away. We have to stop being blind to it. We have to on purpose engage. We have to on purpose engage. Because if we just keep letting the things, you know, bread and circus. How was the Roman Empire destroyed? That's another good study. Entertain the people. Give them what they want. They had welfare. That's why when you hear somebody say, oh, bread and circuses, what's it mean? Entertain them and feed them, and they'll be happy and they'll do whatever you want. And that's how the Roman Empire came down. Just keep the masses entertained. What do you think the Colosseum was all about? Circus, just entertainment. And bread, and keep them fed. You can control them. You can do whatever you want. This is the same thing we've got going on today. They had welfare back then. We've got welfare today. Just keep them fed, keep them happy. They'll keep voting us in. We'll get whatever we want. And then eventually it's all going to be gone, but there'll be a dictator step in and take over it all anyway. And then we'll be just like they all want. You've got these dumb college kids today that are saying, praising socialism. When, you know, just back right after World War II, on up until, you know, I still say even today, but especially when the Berlin Wall came down, you know, fighting communism, the Cold War that almost happened. I mean, you know, Cuba through Russia almost bombing us, and that with JFK involved in that, and then all the talks that President Reagan had to fight off communism. So what was coming to attack and destroy us is what you've got our young people today praising as something good. And when you go into communist countries, you talk to someone that was there. I don't know that they're really there anymore as the change took place, but there are some if you go into like Ukraine and stuff and Romania. But the first generation of that that sees communism loves it because they get everything. The Nazis had a form of communism. Okay, they hated the communists, but they had a form of communism, socialism. Okay, and those people loved it because they had just come out of, really there was the Great Depression, and then their Franks, whatever it was, completely tanked. I mean, there's a story told at, right after World War I in Germany that a lady had a wheelbarrow full of money, of German money, just cash just piled up in that wheelbarrow. And she's going to the store with this wheelbarrow full of cash, paper money, okay? It's not really money if you understand that, but I don't have time to get into all that. But anyway, the printed money, okay? And she left it outside the store, and she went in to get what she was going to get, and she came back out, and the pile of money was on the floor, and the wheelbarrow was stolen because the wheelbarrow was counted as worth something more than that huge pile of cash because of inflation, hyperinflation. I mean, meaning that the value of the dollar in our speak went down so far that it was worth nothing. Okay, it'd be like having to go buy, you know, a loaf of bread for $1,000. Well, if you had any savings, it just turned into nothing, basically. And that's what happened to the Germans. So then along comes Hitler, and he gets things, he really did get things going good economically. And now all the Germans, through the government, they're all being given paid vacations, and they're able to travel Europe and stuff. So they're loving it. And this was the same thing when communism first started, because we got to trick everyone and make them think this is something good. So we're going to give them everything that they want and take care of them. They're going to say, this is wonderful, but here's the problem. Eventually, the money runs out. And then what happens? Well, you have like you had in Greece not too long ago, about 5, 6, 7 years ago. I forget exactly when it was, probably 5 years ago, where their economy failed. And you've got people rioting outside of banks and things like that and petitioning the government. And the government's hiding up, you know, inside their fortress, basically. And the Greek people are coming after them. I mean, that's what eventually ends up happening. And we've got people, young people in our nation, praising socialism as something good. I used to work with a man at the airport. He fled communist Romania. He grew up in it. He left in like, I think probably the year I was born or so. I think it was either 1980 or 1981. He was a young man, and him and two of his friends fled communist Romania. And I just, in working with him, one time I asked him, I said, what was it like under communism? And he's like, here, I'll give you an example. He's like, you see that light pole, what color is it? And it was like gray or something. He's like, no, it's white. And I was like, no, it's gray. And he's like, no, it's white. And I'm like, I'm looking at it, it's gray. And he's like, no, it's white. And he's like, and that's what a communist soldier would come and do and tell you. They'd ask you something like that, and they're going to make you, you're going to submit to what they say, and you're going to do what they say. And he left, and he could never even tell his family when he left. This is how great it is to give over our rights to government. He couldn't even tell his family when he fled, and he fled risking his life. It's not just like, I'm going to hop on a plane and leave. No, he like left on foot and, you know, passed into, I forget where it was, but another European country going through the mountains. But he left, and he couldn't even tell his mom and his dad bye. Because he said, they can't have any knowledge that I'm leaving. They can't know where I'm going because it'll be worse for them. Because the communist government, they're going to come to them, and they're going to ask them, and if they know anything, it's going to be worse for them. And because it's all government jobs, they give you a job. His mom, as far as communism goes, has a pretty good job until he left and he wasn't showing up anywhere. And then his mom ended up getting, they gave her just some awful job, and she had that the rest of her life. Just some hard, laborious job. And that's what happened to her because he fled. I mean, while he fled, they were searching for him. They almost caught him at one time. I mean, it's just an amazing story hearing his story as he fled communism. But this was just not that long ago, 30-something years ago. And this is what we've got people in this nation, because they don't understand the principles of liberty, because they're a bunch of spoiled brats. Amen. Okay? Amen. And they think, you know, government's trustworthy. Look, you're foolish if you think you can trust your government. I'm just going to tell you right now, if you think you can trust any government, I don't care who it is, I don't care if it's one I set up, you're foolish if you think you can trust it. Because it may be good at the start, but what about when the next leader shows up? See, that's the problem with being stuck in a right-left paradigm. Okay, where it's the right wing versus the left wing. That's the problem with it. Is because here's what happened with President Obama. I remember all this. I remember everyone just going crazy over it, getting all upset about all his executive orders, all the Republicans. That's unconstitutional. They shouldn't be doing that. He doesn't have the right to do that. He's legislating as the president. He's not allowed to do that. He's the executive branch. That's for Congress to do that. And they're absolutely right. But when President Trump does it, they're okay with it. And now you've got the left side saying the same thing. That's unconstitutional. He can't do that. Well, here's the problem. When you give one dictator power, guess what the other one gets? He gets the same power, but it gets worse and worse, and it incrementally gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger, and we just keep giving them power that they should not have. And we allow it. So we have to be principled and say, no, I don't care if I agree with what you're doing. I don't care if I think it's a good idea for that to happen. I don't want to give you the power to do it, because when the next guy that comes in that I don't agree with wants to undo everything, I don't want it undone. I don't want him to just come in as a dictator and say, oh, we're not doing that anymore. That's illegal now. I don't want any man to have that power. So I'm not going to give it to you, even though I agree with you. See, principles have to rule the day. I mean, as I was studying Baptist history here in New Mexico, when they were starting TVI, which is now CNM, it originally started as a Catholic school. I don't know if any of you knew that, but that's how it started. It was a Catholic school, okay? And if I might be wrong on that. Let me go back and read it. It's been a few months since I read that. I may be mixing up some things, but I'm pretty sure that was right. Anyway, what you had at that time is you had New Mexico's, the state of New Mexico was wanting to support these private institutions of education, all sorts of them. And you had the Baptists and the ACLU working together. Now think about that. Because they both recognized that the government should not be supporting any type of religion. And we shouldn't be giving money for this institution or that. And now you've got Baptists today, so-called independent Baptists, that'll gladly take government money to fund their colleges. When just like 50 years ago, you had the Baptists, and these were the Southern Baptists, which they were landmarkers like we were at the time, standing against this and saying, that's not right. Nuh-uh. Government shouldn't be supporting religion. Why? Because there's a separation of church and state. You say, where's that? It's not found in the Constitution. It's in the two tables of the law when you understand how our government was framed. That's a separation of church and state. Now, it doesn't mean that the church, so to speak, doesn't influence government. That's what we want. That's us being salt and light. But it's us also understanding the principles of liberty and us not going in and passing a law that dictates everyone has to believe like we do. It also means that. It also means that if someone wants to immigrate to this country, they become an American.
Amen.
Okay? They become an American and they accept our Bill of Rights and the laws of this land. Because as Brother Brad has mentioned, you know, when JFK was running for president, they asked him if, you know, basically if he's a good Catholic. Because if you're a true Catholic, then your number one allegiance is to the Catholic Church. And that's a government, by the way. And they wouldn't, the ministers, I think it was in Texas, wouldn't support him because they said, your allegiance is with the Catholic Church. And he says, well, you know, I don't really go by that. I'm not. I'll follow the Bill of Rights and the Constitution. So honestly, no true Catholic can be an American.
Amen.
With that, no true Muslim can be an American.
Amen.
So are you going to renounce that? Because they do believe you kill the infidels. Well, that's against our Constitution and Bill of Rights because we have the First Amendment. It's a protection of those inalienable rights given to us by God. So you can't remain a true Muslim and be an American. And that's what it is. But that thought needs to get back out there. Liberty. People can believe what they want. And we need to protect the First Amendment, because it's through the First Amendment, the freedom of speech, that I can speak to you and convince you that I'm right and you're wrong, or vice versa. But that's where it's at. There's a dialogue going on, an open dialogue. And guess what? The whole purpose is because we disagree. So I may say something you think is hateful, and you may say something I think is hateful, and it's okay. See, when we understand the principles, then we can begin to see the application spread out beyond just what we believe, and everyone has to believe like me, and everyone has to believe like an American. Here's something that drives me crazy when they say, you know, oh, the Bill of Rights isn't for the Mexicans coming across. Like, you don't understand it then. You don't get it. They're inalienable rights given to us by our Creator. It's not an American thing. It's something God gave to each of us. And we have to understand that. When we don't, that's when we start losing liberties. Why? You say, well, my team's on top, so I still get to do what I want. Okay, wait, your team might not be on top. What about if your team's not on top? Then you want freedom. And that's how all the Protestants were. That's how Martin Luther was, John Calvin. They all wanted liberty for themselves, and the Baptists helped them at first. The Baptists said, this is a good thing, the Protestant Reformation. We don't agree with you doctrinally, but you know, they would even help them and hide them and feed them as they were running for their lives. They'd do things like that with Lutherans, with many of the Protestants, because they're like, hey, we're all in the same struggle. We can't practice how we want to believe. So they did those things. They helped the Protestants. And then when the Protestants got their freedom and got their liberty, they set up state churches. Then they went after those very same Baptists.
Amen.
And said, you can't do that. You have to belong to us. Now, do we want that? Again. It's almost getting there. It's not long until they start telling churches you can't preach against sodomites. It's not long. I'm talking 5 to 10 years. It's not long. One of the things they told to that church in California that had the sign, they said, keep it inside the walls of the church. They don't understand the First Amendment. Because of your First Amendment right, you can come petition outside our church. Now, don't come on private property. But hey, you want to stand on Coors and petition us? Go for it. But you have the right to do that. You have the right to say what you want. Why don't I? See, we got to protect everybody's right.
Amen.
Even those we don't agree with. If we understand liberty. Now, if you want some form of tyranny, then go for it. But we have to understand these things. I hope this has been a help to us, and it's just been on my heart as I'm looking at some of the things that are happening, especially in our state as they're attacking the Second Amendment. But it goes farther than just that. And again, the Second Amendment's the one that protects the other nine. Without that, it all goes down, and they're incrementally taking away our right to keep and bear arms. So we just slowly accept it. Look, here's another way we accept it. Well, a private citizen can't own a machine gun. Who says? Who says? See, within a free society, there's a certain amount of danger within that society. You have to accept that there's a certain amount of danger to live in a free society. But at least in a free society, I can protect myself. Because police can only respond to crime. They can't stop it. They can't. They can't be everywhere all the time. They only respond after it's happened. Just look in England where they've taken away guns. They don't have guns there. But now look at how all the knife attacks have gone up. And now they're banning knives. And no more steak in England, I guess. But seriously, where do we draw the line? Where do we draw the line? Brother Brad was saying in California, you can't have over like a certain length of knife in California. Keep an eye on California, because what happens there comes east. Who says I can't have a certain length of knife? They tell them in California, oh, you can only have a 10-round magazine. You can't have more than that. It's illegal. You have to have a permit to carry concealed. I've got my permit. It's the Second Amendment to the Bill of Rights. I've got it. But because we capitulate and we give over to it, now you talk to so-called, I'm pro Second Amendment guys. Talk to them and they say, oh, no, we need some, we don't want all kinds of crazy people having guns. There needs to be some sort of background check. So where do we draw the line and who decides who's crazy? How about all our ex-military veterans coming back? You know, they're not. Oh, in a foreign country, they're competent to hold a gun, but not once they get back to America, they can't. How about that? Where's due process in any of this? See, so much of the Bill of Rights is being violated with all these laws we pass that so-called liberty-loving people are accepting. And it's through incrementalism. It's just a little bit at a time. Hey, how do you cook a frog? Anybody ever heard that story? How you cook a frog? No? Okay, what happened is this kid, he'd caught a bunch of frogs. I mean, a bucket full of frogs. All right, and he brought them home all excited. And he talked to his grandpa. He said, Grandpa, I've caught all these frogs. And his grandpa said, great, let's cook them. He said, put some water on a pot and just get it going. So the little kid filled the pot up with water. And they're going to, you know, boil the frogs. So they get it. And he gets it heated up real nice and hot. And the water is boiling. And they start grabbing, the kid starts grabbing the frogs. And he throws them in the pot. And immediately, as soon as he throws the frogs in the pot, they just start jumping out. Boom, boom. And you got frogs. They're just jumping all over the kitchen. They're all over the place. And the grandpa tells him, he said, here's what I want you to do, son. I want you to go ahead and collect all those frogs again. And then I'm going to show you how to do this. So he collects all the frogs. And he says, all right, grandpa, I got them all. They're back in the bucket. He says, all right, let me show you something. And he dumps out that bucket. He fills it, or the pot. He fills it back up with some water. And he turns the heat on real light. And then he fills the water and it starts to get just a little bit warm. And he says, all right, now put the frogs in there. And the frogs get in. They're a little skittish at first, but they get in the pot. They're dumped in the pot and they stay in there. And he turns the heat up a little bit. And the frogs are just loving. I mean, they're just, you know, doing the backstroke through that pot and just eating it up. And he turns the heat up more. And it just starts getting warmer and warmer and warmer, and now it's hotter and hotter and hotter. And by the time the frogs realize that they're in trouble, it's too late. They can't get out now. Cooked them. That's what I mean by incrementalism. That's just a silly story. But that's what's happening to Americans with our liberties, is we're just taking it just a little bite at a time. There's an elephant in the room, and it's liberty. And it's slowly being taken a bite at a time. And so now everyone says, well, we never had that peace. And that makes sense. I mean, we don't want people on these drugs getting guns. So we need these universal background checks that don't work. The criminals still have guns, by the way, and they always will. Just because it's government, let me add this too, doesn't mean they're not criminals. So we're just slowly allowing our rights to be taken, and it becomes normal to us. So our children are born into it, and it's just accepted. Property taxes. We were all born into that. So it's just accepted. It's been an accepted part of life. But you never own your property, ever. Never will you own it. It'll never be yours. Because if you stop paying it, guess what? Your government will come take it from you. You're a servant on your master's land, renting it from him perpetually. But we've just come to accept these things. My point being is not that we need to necessarily revolt against all of this, but we need to start speaking up, speaking on liberty, and stop allowing these things to be taken, at least do our part. There's no guarantee we can do it, but if we will start educating ourselves and educating other people, then we can stop our rights from being taken. And if we get enough people educated, we can begin to get them back. We will stop voting socialists into office who don't care about freedom of speech. They want it for themselves, but not for others. They're just like the Protestants. They want liberty for themselves, but not for anybody else. You got all the hippies back in the 60s, you know, protesting on campuses at, you know, Berkeley, California and stuff. They wanted liberty for themselves. They wanted the ability to go out and petition the government and, you know, say what they wanted to say. But they don't want that for people like us. See, it's either liberty for all or liberty for none. And if you take it from anybody, it's liberty for none. Because you may think you're top dog right now, but you don't fall in line one time, you won't have liberty either. And this is where we're at as a nation. We're at a crossroads, I believe. In my opinion, our nation is at a crossroads. And it's a no turning back crossroads. We're almost at the point economically, financially, as a nation, and some have said we've passed it, and we may very well have be past it, but we're almost at a point where there's no turning back from the national debt. Is probably the biggest security to national threat is our national debt. And we have a government that can't balance their budget. Federal government I'm talking about, but we can even go to the New Mexico government. Our governor just asked for a 38% increase in her office's budget. Bigger government, more spending. See, we're at the edge of the cliff. And if we haven't already fallen over, we're going to if we don't stop and turn back right now. So you've got all the right and the left, and the right's conservative, and they want, you know, to rein in the government. Well, how come they keep spending so much? Don't tell me you're conservative if you want to spend our country into oblivion. The nonsense they'll put through on military spending bills so they could just pass it because, oh, well, we have to support the military. Our national security, while you're destroying our nation financially. What are we going to do when there's a collapse, when the dollar collapses because it's so weak? Everything you've saved, it'll be just like Germany. You can have a truckload of money and it'll mean nothing. Because there's no value to it. That's where we're at right now. We're on the edge of that. And none of us understand what that life will be like. We'll go from a first world nation ruling this world to a third world nation. Like that. It'll happen that quick. Our lives will be turned upside down in an instant. In an instant. I recommend a book for all of you to read. If you can get a copy of it, get it. It's not that much. The book isn't very long. It's by Erwin Lutzer, and it's called When a Nation Forgets God. And he goes through and he looks at what happened with the Germans and how Hitler was able to take power and all the setup of it. And he parallels it with the United States. It's a good book. It's a quick read. It'll kind of introduce you to some of this stuff. When a Nation Forgets God by Erwin Lutzer. We've got to do something. We have to demand a limited government, that our government stops spending into oblivion. It's our money. I hear liberals all the time crying about, oh, taxes are going up, taxes are going up, because you guys keep wanting more stuff. And I don't care if they say they're a Republican. I'm talking liberals. There's liberals that want all this free stuff. Our children need to be fed in school. Back up. Should they even be in school? Again, it goes back to what I first said. Should they even be there? And who says it's our job to feed every child that's out there? It is not the government's job. But here's part of the problem is that government has has tied the hands of churches that they can't even do it. I'm not saying I'm for the Catholic Church, but I remember a few years ago, the Catholic Church used to have a Christmas dinner where they would feed the homeless that would come in, and it'd just be the ladies of the church would make a bunch of pozole, and they would give it to the homeless that would come in. They'd feed anybody that came in, they'd feed them a bowl of pozole. Well, our wonderful city government came in and shut them down, said, you don't have a permit to do that. So they're forcing people to be dependent on government. But it's all in the name of safety. Well, you know, we haven't checked if the temperature of that food is right and if there's sanitary conditions. It's always in the name of safety. You can't build that on your own property. What if it's not to code? What if it's all in the name of safety? That's what all that's about. It's not safe. Well, if I want to put my family in a shack that'll collapse on us and kill us, leave that up to me. You don't have your seatbelt on. Here's a $100 ticket. Do you ticket the motorcyclists? I'm just curious. That doesn't make any sense to me. You're driving in a car, you have to have a seatbelt, but you can drive on a motorcycle that goes way faster than cars, gets up to speed way faster than cars too, maxes out top speed way faster than cars, 200 plus miles an hour on a lot of those bikes. You don't have to have a seatbelt on that. We see the hypocrisy. See, it's not about safety, it's about control and money. But it's about controlling us. But you see, what, you don't want people safe? Oh, you want your children in a car accident to die because they don't have their seatbelt on? No, I don't want that. But I don't need you telling me that I have to do it. You're going to tell me how I have to raise them too? What they have to believe? You see what I'm saying? We've got to stop giving in to all this. I hope we have learn something today. I speak on this stuff quite often. I'll mention just things, but every once in a while I'll pull aside and we'll just have a whole message on it. And we need it. We need it. And again, the foundation for all of it is the Bible. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. This is where true liberty comes from. This is why the First Amendment is so important, so we can give people true liberty. But again, God didn't force you to believe, contrary to what the Calvinists say. God didn't force you to believe. You chose of your own free will. God allows every one of us to choose of our own free will. See, if Calvinism is right, man, then the Presbyterians are right. Let them run government. Because that's what they want. That's what they want. They want to take over and set up a theocracy under their style of church. Baptism brings you into the federal family. It's baptism. Baptism saves you. Baptism is what forgives your sins, is what washes away your sins. And since you don't have a choice anyway, God has already predetermined what it's going to be. God has already declared what it's going to be. Well, this is what it's going to be. So since we don't have a choice in salvation, you don't have a choice in choosing God, why shouldn't you be under a theocracy run by the Presbyterian Church? See, all of it goes hand in hand. State church, repression, tyranny, it all goes together. But God told the Israelites, choose you this day whom you will serve. Choose you. You don't have a choice, but choose. That makes a lot of sense, doesn't it? You don't have a choice, but choose. I've already chosen for you, but choose. I just put that in there to make you think you have a choice. No. God's given all of us the liberty of conscience. We get to make that choice. We can completely reject God. Jesus said, oh, I wanted Jerusalem, Jerusalem, I wanted to gather you under my wings, but ye would not. See, God allows us to choose him or reject him. And because each of us will stand and give an account before God as individuals, no parent can answer for their child, no husband for their wife, no government for their subjects. We have a liberty of conscience. I don't care if you're under a communist dictatorial government that says you have to worship this way. You need to reject in China just last week. I know I keep going off on stuff, but in China just last week, I read a report that the government came into one of the churches there in China, and they had the Ten Commandments listed, and one of the government officials, the top guy in charge, went up and he read it. Pastor standing in the pulpit, the government official goes up in front of everyone and reads it. He says, "Thou shalt have no other gods before me." He says, "No, that's not true. Take it down." Well, communist China is atheistic. And they're cracking down on belief there. At risk of life, liberty, and property is what's happening there in China. And who's the perpetrator of it all? Their government is the one taking their life, liberty, and property. But here's the thing. God doesn't care. I mean, I'm not saying he doesn't care that that's happening, but he doesn't care as far as if you say, well, this is what I was under, God, I had to submit to the government. Plus Romans 13, I had to take down the first commandment, and now there's only 9. I had to accept that because they would have put me in prison. I wouldn't have been able to feed my family. My children, wife would have starved. I had to, God. And God says, that doesn't matter. You had a liberty of conscience, you chose, and you chose wrong. There's wrong choices we make. Choose you this day whom you will serve. See, the whole time the Israelites were in Egypt, they were still expected to serve God. Do you know that? Still expected to serve God. When they went into their Babylonian captivity, God still expected them to serve Him. Amen. Hey, when the Jews at the time that Jesus showed up came and said, hey, you can't preach in the name of Jesus anymore, they were still expected to serve God. Even after they took their beating, they were still expected to serve God. They could have said, oh, we can't do that. Look, they just beat us. Next time they're going to kill us. God still expected them to serve Him. And He still expects us to serve Him. Even at risk of losing a job. I'm telling you, are we seeking first the kingdom of God? That's what it comes down to. Are we seeking His kingdom first? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. There's going to be no excuses on judgment day when we stand before Him. He said, but you didn't understand my situation. I think He did. See, He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. If you're saying, I got to do this because I have to take care of my family like this, look, that's sin right there if you're not trusting God. I'm telling us men especially, I don't know when the day's coming, if it's coming. It looks like it's coming to me, but I hope not. I pray not. Where when we stand for what we believe, we'll be sent to prison or killed. Usually it's going to be prison first and then murder starts coming later. But we're going to have enough faith to say that I'm willing to stand for God and trust that God will take care of my family. And that take care of doesn't always mean what we think it means. We have to have the faith to do that, though. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. I'm telling you, it costs something to serve God. When we're not willing to even give Him anything right here, right now, when the persecution hits, just give it up. Just stop coming. If you won't even serve Him now, just stop. So is that what you want, Pastor? Of course not. I want you here sold out, dedicated. But do it now when you have the liberty to. Do it now. What excuse are you going to have now when you have the liberty to? If you die and stand before God, what excuse would you have right now for not serving Him? I'm not just talking about just coming to church. I'm talking about serve Him. Amen. Live for Him. Be salt and light for Him. We need to live for Him right now. This is how we can have the most impact in this world. This is how we can turn this thing around. Is by us living it, by us teaching these principles, by us engaging people in them. Whether it's just your family, it doesn't have to be a huge circle. We just start influencing these types of things. Just get the thoughts out there, where people start to question what they've accepted all their life. And get Bible thinking back in people. See, America used to be a Bible literate nation. I'm not talking they were saved. But I'm talking about, you go back just even 50, 60 years ago, you ask someone about Cain and Abel or something, about Noah, and they knew about it. They had a working knowledge of the Bible. I'm not saying they were saved or nothing, but they knew about the Word of God. Why? Because more people were salt and light. Because we actually had a Bible. We weren't confused about the Bible. We've got to get back to where we talk it. We live it. Go to Deuteronomy 6. Deuteronomy 6:4. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. This is the first and great commandment right here. To love God with all thine heart, all thy soul, and all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. This is how we're to live. Just talk about it with your children. Don't be ashamed of it. Don't be embarrassed of it. Out in public. You know, your kids ask you, you know, you're standing in line at the grocery store, hey, what's wrong with this beer? Tell them. Loud enough for other people to hear. Tell them, son, the Bible says that that's poison, that it kills people, that it's a mocker, that it's raging. That turns men into wife beaters. Tell them that stuff. Turns women into whores. Tell them. Unless we're ashamed of God. Unless we're ashamed of His Word. So we teach our children. And this is for all of us, not to be ashamed of Him. But that we live what we say we believe. All right, if we would, let's...